Hey everyone, Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. This week we're doing Q&A. These are questions that came in this week that we're going to cover. Tyler's got the first one.
Yeah, so the first one that we got in, a kid asks, a lot of atheists like to say that if God was real, why do kids get leukemia and why did the Holocaust happen? I feel like I really didn't have a good answer for that. I had a teammate ask. So this is a very common question by either atheists or non-believers, people against the Lord and against the faith. And that's kind of like the go-to gotcha question. You know, how could there be a God, or how could there be a good God that would allow so much evil and suffering in the world?
Right.
Right. And the first point I would like to make is free will is as vital to love as your wheel to your car is for steering, right? So in order to have love, you have to have free will, the option to choose right from wrong. And because we as humanity have chosen wrong, we've chosen sin, and original sin has entered the world, that's caused a breakdown to happen, right? There's a breakdown in our bodies. There's a breakdown in society. There's a breakdown on earth in general. And it's important to understand the lengths that, because of our sin, wickedness can bring us to something like the Holocaust, right? There's no ends to how wicked and evil humanity can become.
Yeah, the key point there, like you're touching on, is that as God created us, he created us with free will. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to imagine a creature that could only do good and still have free will? I can't imagine that, right? So there had to be the option to do wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Now you say, well then, you know, why did God allow that? It's like, clearly God had that as the design versus a world of just automata where everything's running as robots that are just moving along, and that it was this dynamic world where humans could do good or they could choose to do bad. Mm-hmm. Right? But then, yes, through the, like you're saying, the consequences of that, when we choose bad, that's where you're getting the pain and suffering and problems, right? It's not coming from God. It's coming from us.
Ourselves.
Right? Yeah. We're creating the problems.
Yeah, exactly. There's cause and effect, and there's consequences, positive and negative, to our decisions, right?
Right.
And that's where we see the negative consequences of the human body breaking down, tragedy, suffering, pain, pure evil like the Holocaust, right? That becomes from our own weakness, our own poor decisions with free will, right? So that's point number one, is we have free will and we've abused it, and those are the consequences for it. Now, I do want to make the point that despite of this, the Lord can still be glorified through terrible things and terrible tragedies. We see that in John 9. This is where Jesus heals a man born blind. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they're thinking cause and effect. Oh, this must be a punishment for some sort of sin that his parents created. So since his parents must have done some terrible sin, their punishment is their son is born blind. Jesus responds in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash it in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing, right? So Jesus isn't saying, hey, because of sin, this man was punished into being born blind. No, he's saying, hey, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And so understand that even though we live in a fallen world where things are not perfect and there's pain and there's sickness, there's evil, the Lord can still be glorified through that. And if anything, it points to the fact that we need the Lord. Lord, help us.
Right.
We need you desperately. Show us your glory, right? And through that, he can redeem us, and his grace can be shown. And it's also important to note that every good and perfect gift comes from above, right? So we're living on earth right now in the current time as it is. It is not forever, right? There will come a time where we're in heaven, but as of now, we're in earth and it's fallen, right? But we're still under grace, and there are still good things that we experience on a day-to-day basis that we do not deserve, right? Mm-hmm. We deserve the worst of the worst at all times. And because of the Lord's goodness and because of the Lord's grace, we're still getting good and perfect gifts all day long, right? And it's important to realize that. It's important to realize not everything's about me,
right?
the Lord does one thing or another. It has might not make sense to me right now, but it's not for me. It's for other people, right? And like you said tonight,
it's not always just about you.
Yeah, so it's important to, oh, why did this happen to me? Or, oh, why do I have to... It's not just about you, right? Mm-hmm. And that'll help to go a long ways in your perspective of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. That was the first question that we had tonight. The second one was, kid asked, my question I had was, is it really important to get baptized? Because personally for me, as I've been going to church, I hear them talking about it, and I'm not sure, but I feel like I just need an answer to that. So his question about baptism. Okay. Now, my personal opinion on baptism is that this becomes, you know, a flashpoint in terms of just denominations like to argue about things like this, right? And then you get some extremes where you get some denominations that teach, you know, that it's salvation is only baptism, right? Remember your certificate of baptism, right? That somehow that just being baptized and you have the certificate, that's like you're, you know, take it into heaven. And then you'll get the dynamic of, you know, evangelicals like to really argue with, you know, other denominations about infant baptism and things like this. And my personal opinion is that if you're spirit filled, this is not something that you're getting extremely tripped up about and arguing with people about and really like, you know, just going off on Facebook about. Okay. It certainly is a very important aspect of the faith, but it shouldn't be something that's causing argument and division in the body. You're missing the forest for the trees if this is causing division. Okay. So the importance of baptism is that you see first in Mark chapter 1, the other gospels, that Jesus himself was baptized. Right. So you're seeing the template for that. You're seeing it in Matthew 28, okay, where Jesus tells his disciples that they are to, he says first, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew 28:18. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Okay? So that's a mandate in there that's part of it, is they're getting baptized. Okay? Now you see that also in Acts 10, Acts 16, other sections where people are getting baptized after they get saved. Okay? So you're seeing this through Scripture, right? And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, it tells you here in verse 20, so starting in 18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago, and God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So the pledge of a good conscience toward God, right? So that if you confess with your mouth
Jesus is Lord,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, right? And along with that, that this public declaration of faith, this pledge of a good conscience, remember, baptism in biblical days was not, you know, a church function where you're inside the church and everybody's agreeing with this. This was a public declaration where I'm stepping out as a Christian. I am now saved, and now I am publicly declaring that I am walking with the Lord. Right, and that's a huge step, and that remains a huge step for people in many countries around the world. Mm-hmm. Right, so then just to wrap this point up here with baptism, you can see in Luke 23 that you can certainly be saved without being baptized. Okay, you can look at 1 Corinthians 10 and discuss it, you know, being baptized but not saved. Okay, and then also in Acts 8, you can see being baptized but not having received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so there's different aspects of baptism there, but, you know, what we said tonight was, is we had a kid ask about, you know, he was baptized as an infant, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, ask, should I be getting baptized now? If that's something that the Lord's laying on your heart, definitely.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You know, definitely listen to what the Spirit's telling you. And if saying, like, yeah, you should go and get baptized, and I want to make a, you know, public declaration of faith that I have stepped over the line, right, into faith in Jesus Christ, and this is who I am.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're after there.
Yeah. You make great points, and I think that a lot of times people get lost in the religiosity of it. It becomes right. just this, like, religion thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, if I was done, like, as a kid, like, it checked the box.
Right.
And that's what it comes relegated to, is just a box to check.
Right.
Right? Which is completely missing the boat, right?
Correct.
Like we talked about in this example from 1 Peter, it's like, okay, I've made up my mind, right?
Yes.
In good conscience that I'm giving my life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Or I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God risen from the dead, right? Yeah. Logistically, it would make sense that the next step is I'm going to go public with this. I'm going to put some action to this.
Correct.
And show this is my new identity. This is who I identify with, and there's no going back from this, right? And like you said, there is real consequence overseas and in some parts of the world to that. I declare I'm a Christian. There's consequence to that, which is good.
Right.
It means I'm choosing, right? I've made that decision. My heart's set, right? And you see the value of that. It's just important not to let, like, the watered down religiosity version of that discourage you. It's, hey, like you said, if you're led by the Spirit, it's going to be a natural progression, right? Yes. You're going to get prompted on that, right? Hey, this is my new life. I want to get baptized.
Like,
Jesus laid down the example. It's in my heart. I want to tell people and proclaim that I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And the symbolism of, okay, I'm going down and I'm coming back up and I'm new, right?
Yeah.
And anyone who's been baptized and gone through the process that way, it's kind of a surreal feeling, you know, coming up out of the water like that and like, yeah, man, like, wow.
Right, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation. Right, yeah. You really feel that, right? Yeah. And you feel the blessing of that. So,
yeah, because if you went through this where you're, you know, you're professing faith, but then no change occurred, you would have to logically conclude that, right, nothing took place.
Nothing of substance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you make that good point there of it's, you know, I'm coming up a new creation, right? And I'm stepping into, you know, I'm in faith in Jesus Christ, and now I am aligning myself with that of saying this is now who I am.
Yeah. Right? So don't get tripped up by the religiosity of it. If you've given your life to Christ and you feel prompted, do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's baptism. The third and final question that we went through tonight, and this kind of brings everything full circle for me of the first question, where you have the perspective of, oh, life on earth, and it's not perfect, and why do bad things happen, and this and that. And one of the important aspects that I pointed out tonight is this is just temporary, right? Heaven is eternal.
Right.
And the last question that we got tonight was, when I go to heaven, will I be free from the flesh? What will life be like in heaven? All right. So the first point that I made in regards to will I be free from the flesh, I took that as, like, will I have a new body? Like, how will that look logistically?
In Corinthians,
I went to 1 Corinthians 15, and I think we get the answer in chapter 15, verse 35.
I'll pick it up here.
Yeah.
In 15:35 it says, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he's determined, and to each kind of seed he gives his own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun is one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body.
Yeah, so I get from that, yes, we will have a spiritual body. And one of the ways that I've had it explained is, you know, heaven is going to be like earth, in a way, but way better. And our bodies in heaven are going to be similar to what we have. But like he's talking about here, it's going to be a spiritual body, mm-hmm. way better, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of answered the first part of the question for me, what I got out of it. And then we get to what will heaven be like, or what will life be like in heaven? And so I went to Revelation.
We have Revelation 21. Verse 3, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
Yeah. So all that suffering that we talked about from that first question, we realize that once Jesus comes back, once we go through the first and second judgments, once we actually get to heaven, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old is past, the new is come, right? And so that gives me a lot of encouragement, because it'll be like as it was intended mm-hmm. to be, right? We'll actually be with the Lord, and we'll actually be made whole.
Yes.
Right? That missing piece where we don't see the Lord and we pay all the consequences for it will be no more, right? And I get a lot of encouragement out of that. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." So it says that we'll have rewards in heaven. We'll have treasures in heaven. We'll be rewarded based on what we did in our time on earth,
mm-hmm.
right? Corinthians talks about that, our work being tested by the fire,
right?
And that kind of
shown for what it's worth, yeah.
Exactly. So if you're a believer and you're like, oh, like, I can't wait to just go to heaven, like, life on earth sucks, it's like, oh, there's a reason you're here, and there's some work for you to do, right? Yes. Act with purpose.
Good
right?
works that he's prepared in advance
for us to do, yeah. right? And it can be something as simple as, you know, handing a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty. You know, you'll store up treasures and reward for that, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd be smart to do so. It says we'll have some work to do in heaven. We'll have tasks, again, based on what we did here on earth, and that'll be good. It'll be fulfilling, right? It won't be toilsome. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, to clarify, what Tyler's talking about is the two judgments. The first judgment is simply separating believers from unbelievers, the sheep from the goats, right? Mm-hmm. Then the second judgment that is for believers, that'd be 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5, right? Also what you see here in Revelation, where that's now believers are being judged according to what they have done. Mm-hmm. That's a judgment for believers.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's separate of, you know, names written in the book of life, sheep from the goats.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment for believers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in whole, Isaiah 65 states there will be a new heaven and a new earth, right? It's going to be way better than we can imagine. We will have new bodies. They're going to be way better than we can imagine. And most importantly, we're going to be with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
right? And that'll make us whole. We'll be with him for eternity. We'll be with other believers for eternity. And like Revelation talked about, there will be no more pain or death or suffering whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our first week of Q&A. We had a whole slew of questions, so we're going to pick back up with those next week and probably the following week as well. So stay tuned. If you yourself have questions that you want to address, we're going to handle them all. You can find us on Instagram, the Monday Night Pod. Just shoot us a DM with whatever question you have, and we'll make sure to cover that you know, in following weeks. So Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske.